Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month med plus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rachel. You're absolutely beautiful, and congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. All right, so you've been listening to what everybody's been
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Liar.
And fit.
Montage, that's what
I know, but
you want that bad. This up sometimes.
Because what you were saying to Roslyn about the premiere party. First of all, you know Larry Wall. He owns most of the buildings. And, you know, Lisa Rowland, Larry Wall, okay, my bodyguard, which had videotapes, because I didn't get a glass of champagne coming in. But Roslyn called me in the car and said, you have a lawsuit. So get ready when you walk in that door to talk to her.
Hillary heard me say, not here. You came in hot. That is not true.
I understand.
Why would Ralph?
Well, see, I have a double hip replacement, so I wobble a little because they're 40, you know, I did it at 45 years old. So on heels, I'm a little unsteady. But no, Roslyn had smoke coming out of my ears. Yes, I did look for a glass of champagne, but there was no more glasses of champagne since Lisa Rowland, Larry Wall, Dottie, and my bodyguard chauffeur were an hour late. So there were not even press releases for us to sign that we could use our videos, we could use our photos. So I thought the glasses on the table were, you know, a welcoming glass. Like at every party has a welcoming glass.
Wait, we did have welcoming glasses.
Well, I came in an hour late. So the girl, that beautiful girl out in front, and it looked like a beautiful party. And you did ask for money through Hillary.
No,
and I'm not throwing you under the bus.
Hillary, did I ask anybody for money?
I have it on a text. But I only am saying this because I wouldn't
show
us Hillary
the text,
under
then
the bus.
Show us the text.
Are you suggesting that maybe she asked you to
I asked you for money?
I suggested.
I did not ask anybody for money.
I wasn't you. It wasn't you.
I suggested.
She wrote it.
So let's hear
and I didn't need to throw you under the bus.
No, you didn't. I'm very happy to have said to Jaja, what kind of help do you need? You seem to want to do this all yourself, but can we pitch in
for the bodyguards and for her?
No, photographers.
I heard like 100 employees there that night.
Let me tell you,
and it was just for tip. When she asked me, do you need any help? All I said was, maybe just tips, because I was going to tip all the employees there. That's it. So Maria was nice enough. She sent $1,000. And nobody else contributed, but I didn't ask, except for Hillary and Maria.
Excuse me.
No, she gave me.
She gave me half. Because I told her I was sending, and
okay,
she said,
well, that was very nice of you.
We didn't give you $1,000 cash, but my husband, he felt it was more important to make a donation there, and he did. He bid on two tickets, and he paid $3,500 to the David Cohn Foundation, and he thought that would be appreciate it.
He bought an auction item, right?
Yeah. Right.
And love, everybody buys auction items.
But he felt, instead of giving $1,000.
Okay, that's
so
very nice. But
he felt that was
not
good.
Ask.
No, I never you said that. I'm just saying.
Okay,
you
so said but let's make that clear.
That is clear.
Okay, okay. That's good. Hold on.
My husband donated 35 because he wanted to.
Yes. Hold on. So yes. What I'd like to be clear about is that we heard before you walked in that you must have seen something in the car.
No, I received a phone call. Larry Wall sent up the Newsweek. That's why Newsweek actually made a rebuttal about the truth, what happened that night.
Okay.
And
But you're talking about you before the premiere.
From two different things, from TMZ to everything from that. She was drunk.
But you were talking about on the way to the premiere in on the way car to that the you premiere. Got a call from Roslyn.
What were you mad about?
How did
about?
The article have come out? I don't
know. You were an hour late.
Why she was mixing upset. Up her days. Why were you upset when you got to the party? Because what we're trying to figure out.
Because Roslyn called me and said, you have a lawsuit.
What's the lawsuit?
There's an article that just came out that you have, and it's terrible about you, and that Roslyn plays
what was it?
The angel.
Okay,
Roslyn plays the
hi. Okay, but we'll I'm get Roslyn, to that. But what I'm trying to figure out was because was I think you're, what you're
article?
Saying is you're mixing up days. Because
no, I'm not mixing up days. So that was 1 hour late, and it was a Newsweek article that came out. She told me.
Yeah.
So that's why you heard her and I talking, because she was saying, yeah, you have a real lawsuit.
I did not say that.
But not right
there.
Was
no right
but not right here. But not right here.
Between your transportation from wherever you came from to the event.
The premiere was the same day the show came out.
I had nothing to drink afterwards. Actually, Melissa Butterworth even walked out with me afterwards. I even saw at the table again.
Your best friend?
Melissa Butterworth has DM'd me a million times saying that if you need me to state what happened with Gail, I saw everything. So
you know,
let's ask Melissa Butterworth.
Then why did she walk out with me?
She says actually said you're the wrong.
Because it looked like you were, you know, a little wobbly and that you needed help to walk out.
But can
I
you
had a bodyguard.
She didn't
have
somebody's
you.
Name who's not here.
They
but she is one of my
you.
Best friends.
I know.
Friends.
And she's one of my best
and
friends.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
She's not. But she did tell me straight out.
Oh, you're going to tell me Melissa Butterworth is not one of my best friends.
But she did say
I love that
she
one.
Would side with Tasha 100%.
Everybody's her best friend.
Okay, so hold on.
She
let's say
that to
Gail.
Me.
Okay.
Because
I appreciate
she
that.
Thought,
I got it. She
got wait, I want to know what the article said.
What article?
Let's go back to that.
The day that the show was.
Hold on.
Was
yeah. Let me just clarify something to you. Because I think that what you're talking about is the article about what happened at the premiere. You're talking about what happened after. So
no,
what were
before.
You? But you couldn't have had enough. What was the
it?
Article that was so
what
upsetting?
It was Newsweek.
About what though? What were you so mad about? I'm trying to get.
I couldn't really get the whole reading. I asked Larry Wall because he was sitting in the front with my bodyguard chauffeur to read it.
Okay.
And you know.
So you were mad, but you didn't know what you were mad about.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Other than the fact that Roslyn told me I definitely had a lawsuit.
Okay.
Against Hill. Against.
That is not true, but. In conversations later,
yes,
I have told her because she was talking about it. If somebody is slandering you, then you do have a lawsuit.
Got it.
But I wasn't talking about that minute.
You have one right now on Tasha about Mar-a-Lago.
But we've already talked about it, and we're good.
But I didn't say a word about you before the premiere, except for after.
I don't have a lawsuit.
Threatened me. That's the only.
And I apologize to you.
But that was after the premiere. What are you talking about? That happened before.
She doesn't know.
She doesn't remember.
She was just here.
It was, no, I can show you the article.
Okay.
I just don't have it in front
okay.
of me.
So anyways,
now.
You were talking with Rosalyn. Hold on. Well, yes. You guys are good. We all know that. We all did this. Okay. So you had a conversation with Rosalyn, which upset Tasha and ultimately led to you getting kicked out.
Yes.
Do you recall that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you
I recall apologizing to her, but she still wanted me out.
You did apologize. I did, but yeah. It was too late because you had already threatened me. So
and
I didn't know what you were going to do, if you're going to try and fall, or I couldn't take a chance in a, you know, a mansion that.
Well, you know what? It made for good TV. It made for
well,
good
but publicity. I didn't do that on purpose for publicity.
But it made for good publicity.
Because you threatened me. So. If
I
we're talking about
you.
Etiquette,
were you guys still filming at the premiere?
No. Okay. Of course not.
I didn't
oh,
threaten
is that
you.
Why you're here?
You did threaten me.
With a lawsuit.
With a lawsuit?
That there might
that's not
be,
a threat? You didn't say, no, you didn't say, Tasha, there might be a lawsuit. You said, I'm suing you, and I'm suing
no,
you.
No, I did not.
There's going to be a lawsuit tonight. That is what you said. Did you?
That's what she told me.
Hillary was standing there, and a lot of people were standing there.
I did hear. But anyway, we're
talking about the street
story. Okay, so we're going to agree to disagree because her memory and your memory and everybody else's memory seems to be different.
No, Hillary remembers very well, and so does Rosalind.
And I have perfect videos on absolutely everything. Actually, Lauren Clark, who's here, was a journalist that she did not know that I knew, and because she's one of my handlers right now.
But you hired her after. Yes, I did. I took her phone because she was videotaping me, and it was my party, so I took her phone. That's right.
And it slapped back into her
face. Do you have a problem with her? No,
I have it on video.
She did.
Okay,
say
so
it.
Do you feel Natasha was trying to physically
assault
you?
She can say whatever she wants. Nobody believes her.
Hold on. Okay. Do you feel like you were physically, threatened by what she did?
Threatened?
Yeah, you said she took your phone and slapped back in somebody's face.
No, that was one of the journalists.
I understand, but I'm just trying to get
to
you.
But I did not feel threatened by Natasha at all.
Okay. So, and you're saying that you wobble because of your hip replacement?
Yeah, I've had a double hip 25 years ago. No, I had no drinks in me.
Okay. And you don't agree with that?
Well, that's not what I was told because I was called by the check-in people asking who she was because she seemed to be drinking different champagne glasses outside.
No, I have nothing.
I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
No, but I have nothing. And you can ask Lisa. Lisa will be happy to write a statement.
I don't.
So will Larry Wall.
Lisa is.
So you don't know who Lisa.
Okay. So you stated your. We know what you heard from
the
security.
So let's move on from this.
But I was standing right there. So.
Yeah.
She's very
was Hillary. She's
so
very confident in Manhattan.
So Gail, let me explain why I have you on here because, as we all know, as we all know, Gail is actually not part of the cast.
Actually, I am. I signed a 2-year contract.
Okay.
So I am cast.
Not part of the main cast.
Not
there
part
are
of
friends that have.
Yeah. You're a friend of.
No, I signed main cast.
Okay. So, yeah, she's main cast. Let's go on.
She signed a contract for a season we're not approved for yet.
Okay. So you're sitting here because there's a lot of questions. You were in a lot of scenes. You were somebody that a lot of people talked about. So I feel like this is a good time to get to the bottom of a lot of those questions. Is that okay with you?
Oh, I'd be very honored.
Okay. So let's start with a couple of things that were talked about on the show. Hillary suggested that you all give your address out.
It's Flagler. I just didn't want to give the exact number due to the fact I don't want to be, to be honest with you, your mother, sending me threats. So I did not want to put myself in danger as a single woman in a house where and also with Romina with the accident that I did to her, which I apologized 500 million times.
No accident.
It was backstabbing.
That's not
what we'll get to that. Just one problem at a time.
I did not want to give the exact address on Flagler, and that home you're building is absolutely spectacular. And I don't have a problem with you, Hillary. I respect you very much as a businesswoman, and I always have.
Well, the reason why I'm asking,
Rosalind hated you.
Okay,
absolutely called all of you, other than Romina, witches. You especially witch.
I never called her a witch.
We go witches together, witch. Not wrong.
Hillary is the worst person on earth.
We're good witches.
So I didn't know you.
I'm witches. Me and
But let me make a understand something. I didn't know any of you, other than Rosalind. So
no, we have met before. You might not remember.
Many years ago.
And I thought you met Hillary.
And we did find out that you met Hillary.
You said you knew her. It was on the episode. She was on
I know, but these are many years ago. Hillary didn't remember it. I didn't remember it. We have close friends in Palm Beach in common.
Okay. I just want you to stick to the questions, if you don't mind, just so we can go through them as a quick thing. So the reason why I brought up Hillary mentioning not giving out your address is because you do a lot of conversation towards Romina and talking in the show about how important being in Palm Beach on the island is, when in fact you don't live on the island. You live in West Palm.
Lived on the island, 1139 North Ocean, for 15 years. My son went to the day school. I lived on the island.
No one's saying you didn't, but I'm just clarifying.
I like condo living. I think Flagler has one of the most beautiful views. She wouldn't be selling a $46 million home there.
Well, right. Thank you for upping the price. It is $42.5 million.
No, $2.5 million for the wife, and then the $40 million for the husband.
Wasn't that a great video?
Yes, Mom.
Okay. Let's address, I don't know if all of you guys know this, but there is a story going around about you in the press, and it was talked about on my podcast and within your community of Palm Beach about a toe biting story.
Yes.
If you can clarify, are you guys aware of this story?
No.
A lot of people have suggested that in the Hamptons, in her past, she bit somebody's toe off who was the girlfriend or a wife of her ex-husband in her former home. And it was a big piece of information that people were given because they said, well, Gail is not who she represents on the show. This is a woman who bites people's toes off. She doesn't have the etiquette that she was trying to express to you. So tell me this story briefly.
Okay.
Succinctly.
I was in the middle of a divorce, and Tasha and you were on the broadcast, and I hate to throw you under the bus.
That's fine. Please do.
It was you that actually said it.
I did.
Tasha agreed. But my son called me because my husband only had, visitation rights. We had to have someone there at all times because the girlfriend in front of the courts down here, the judge felt that they were both not capable having my son alone. So he had called me. I quickly drove over to my Hampton house. My husband was not married to this bimbo. Trust me. She was on every drug on earth. So I run over to grab my son. She attacks me, pushes me down to the ground. I go into cardiac arrest because I've had 4 ablations to my heart. I fall down. And as I'm falling down, I am pushing back with my feet. She bit my toe, not off, but bit it, just a stitch type of thing. But and he threw her on a train to get her out, to the Manhattan apartment. And it was just a total lie. It was all reversed.
Got it. So you never bit anybody's toe off?
Of course not.
Okay, just clarify.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're the self-proclaimed Grand Dame of Palm Beach. Did somebody pass that title on to you?
Not self-proclaimed, but I was passed a title from Mary Lou Whitney, Mary Lou Cornelius Vanderbilt Whitney, and Joan Beauvais, to take over a few of the charities because and they gave me all the sponsors. So they gave me all the money.
Okay.
Not only that, Brownie McLean and all the old guard of Palm Beach gave me all of their social registers. So, they filled the room for me. So it was extremely easy for me to start. And it was, at that time, there was never no such thing. A crown and a baton is a metaphor. Okay. Rosin thought it was real. But, she wanted to be a queen. That's going to take a long, long time, not 4 years.
So it's interesting that you have this kind of animosity to somebody that you spent the entire show building up and being so
I'm very sorry.
So what happened?
I overheard her sit there and lie and lie and lie. And she just really totally social climbed off of me. And even Hillary said she brought Gail on the show to give, thinks she's going to get credibility from her.
Okay, so you
on the boat.
Used me. I'm the one who has the memberships.
So what? I had a car before you. I'm no longer anymore.
There's no way to social climb off you. You used me clearly. I brought you
and I thank
on
you
the
for that.
Show.
Yes.
Exactly. So don't say I social climb off you and there's zero that I could get from you. Zero. You don't have money. And don't.
How do you know? Actually, you're all leveraged.
Not
I know.
Me.
Yes, I know. I've checked it all out. Oh, you're okay. Leveraged to the
hilt. Oh, you're right.
Okay. So don't even go there.
Start bringing up
the real numbers.
I did.
I have a.
What I've done for you.
I did
feel that you are a very mean and despicable woman.
Then why do you love me
because
so
I was.
Much?
She didn't know
I didn't know you. This has
week
made
after
me know
week
you.
After week.
Excuse
after
me,
week.
Gail. Anybody who has eyes and watches the show sees how loyal I was to you, and I stood up for you and put you on a pedestal, fought with all the girls to my own detriment, and stood up for you. So don't.
You didn't fight with these girls because you Because of me.
Excuse me?
It was because you did not like them. You said mean things about Maria. Mean things about Hillary. I mean, she's very Jew. She's very Jew.
Gail.
I wanted to protect her back because I was grateful that she brought me on the show.
Gail, only the part.
I just want to say one thing.
Hold on, just hold on.
That was a great one.
Rosalind. I just want to say one thing. If you're trying to be heard, it is not a good look for you to come on and start to say things to hurt anybody in any way possible. So lead with what good you can bring to the table right now, because this is your platform and you could say a lot of right things. What's happening right now is not making you look any better. Like, I feel like you did get
backlash. I'm just sticking up for myself.
So let me say this.
By hurting everyone else?
By you make yourself...
I heard you in the other room.
I heard you, and it wasn't easy. But let me ask you this. What can you bring? Speak from a place of, like, you were hurt, okay? So forget about the witches and this and that. What are you feeling? Because I feel that since the show came out, this is me, tell me if I'm wrong. I feel that you feel that Rosalind pulled back a little bit because perhaps she felt like she didn't like the way the show was shown in some way. And when you said some things to Romina about go back to the country, Rosalind didn't like the fact that, yes, you know, it reflected that's off of true. Both of you. So she thought, hey, that's not something I said. So I need to pull back because I'm seeing things that I don't agree with. So when you felt the pullback, you felt hurt. Like, you did you not feel that you
absolutely
felt hurt? You
felt
used.
Hurt.
I didn't say that you used
felt
her.
Used.
You felt used.
Yes, because, like, even
so
with Deborah,
I felt like
she asked me to really stick up for her and ask for the cash.
Okay, but listen,
you know,
forget the money. Forget the money.
But that was after.
Look at
that was after.
Stay with Maria. Stay with Maria.
You felt hurt. So then, what happened is that you started doing more press. And the focus became about us three specifically, because let me ask you something. When we did that live, if I had invited you, like, do you honestly think you would have gone and disparaged us and said stupid things? You probably would have had a great time with us. I personally feel...
I wasn't jealous. Well,
I personally feel that you started
jealous.
To feel discarded, and then you became
No, not
bitter.
At all.
Well, then tell me where this is coming from, because you're throwing a lot of daggers.
No, at my age, no offense, I don't want to go disco dancing with the... You know, shaking
okay, but
the
why are you trying to hurt people right now?
What?
Like, so let me ask
no,
you.
But Rosalind kept texting me, you're jealous. You're jealous. I mean, you know, like, really, I'm at my age, I'm going to be in the Avalon or whatever, dancing.
You seem to enjoy Avalon and the dancing very much so that night.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, but I was out of there early, you know. I mean, you guys, you're young, and you should enjoy your life.
So the five of us, the main cast, if we have issues... We are discussing them and overcoming that and moving on.
It
because
doesn't get worse.
If we're so lucky and we get a second season really soon, we're going to film together. And we're going in this, starting off on a high foot that we all are good. But you want to destroy everyone and say mean,
not
nasty things. So I stood up for you for 8 episodes till the end. Like the truest friend in the world.
You told
and
me
you
also to bring the books to take down Hillary.
I didn't tell you to bring the books.
Yes.
So let me stop you right here. Let me say
a liar.
What did you see, Gail, on the show when you watched it back that you feel badly about?
Braggadocious.
What?
Everybody, she kept telling me everybody's calling me a phony. Everybody's saying you're a phony, a phony, phony, phony.
Do you think you came off as a phony?
Yes. It's disgusting. I didn't like the way I treated Romina. I sent her an apology like 16 times. I felt.
You sent me an apology, and then when I said, I don't want to talk about this, Gail, you said, well, I'm going to get you off the show then. That was
not.
The last conversation we had.
You show me that.
The last conversation
I would never.
At this
no, that's
event.
Not true.
You were like, I live on Palm Beach. I'm like, that's really good for you, Gail. I'm very happy. And then you started threatening as
no,
if you have some
that's
kind
not
of
true.
Goal.
That's not true.
You're nice
that's
until you're
lie.
Not.
Romina doesn't lie. She said that you said that I was sitting
no,
at
and
table.
Honestly, I'm very proud of you, Romina. I actually think that
you've been saying bad things about us in the media.
No, I have not.
You have,
yes.
You've been in the media on Decider, and you were talking poorly about all three of us.
That we
it was with
like
the baton.
But you still are, and even
the
last week.
And the metaphor of the baton.
If you own something, then you get collateral.
Yeah, I own it.
Especially in conversations if you were listening.
Okay, let's talk about Romina and what you said about her.
Yeah.
Okay, because you said three things that I can remember. Can you remember what they are?
Well, about Uzbekistan, go back to your country.
Right.
I don't remember the third.
Okay, well, about, you know, her speaking such good English after...
Yeah, but she's been here for 15 years. I think she speaks such beautiful English.
Right, but do you see how that sounded when it played back? Like she...
No, I know. I have a lot of friends that come over from different countries. Right. Actually, I'm first-generation American. But, you know, I saw the difficulties... With they had just accents,
right? Okay,
and
but looking back, but looking back at the show, can you understand how it could come off racist, mean, being a bully? And the question really is, you know, you're from an older generation. Mm-hmm. This is no offense. I mean, you know, obviously, a very respected older generation. Is it that this is how you feel, and you just don't see that you're saying it, or are you saying it to be mean?
No, I was very wrong. I apologize to Romina in Texas that I have in emails, or not in emails, I apologize, but in Texas over and over to try to let her know that I was truly wrong. You know, it was just a long day. We were exhausted. And quite honestly, Romina, I love you. And I really mean that. And I would like to be your friends, but I don't want to go out at night with you, please. I have no jealousy about that. I'm very happy to stay home at my age. But I felt badly. I felt that was just the wrong thing. I did not know where Uzbekistan was. My apologies. And I am not a racist. You know, I would do Feeding the Hungry, chair that. You know, it's...
Well, I would just suggest in the future never to say... to anybody that they should go back to one of their countries.
It was very, very wrong.
Can you accept your apology?
I accept your apology.
Thank you, sweetheart. Great. And that's why even on the eighth episode, I gave you a hug and I said, you know, I'm so wrong. And I thought we were fine.
Comments from
a
lot
of... I think you have a fabulous career ahead of you.
Thank you.
In so many things between the fashion and, you know, singing and making music. You're just young and... have it.
Look.
That is nice.
See, so if we were a show, like, they would do the music. They would show. Like,
yeah. Rachel's
house. All right. So
Rachel.
A lot of people have commented about how you have aged beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
And you are a beautiful one.
Thank you.
One of the biggest scenes, though, that they show often is how you fell and your wig came off.
You know, that was the first time I ever wore a wig.
Okay. Well.
So I didn't know you had to put a band under it. And Romina, thank you very much. It was very kind of you. You know, in the beginning, I took it offensively, but it was very kind of you to send me a wig place, and I thank you for that.
I want to know what it was like to be in that moment, though.
I was very grateful. Even Taj and I had just had a bad moment, and all the girls really rallied around me. And when I stood up, I said, you know, thank you so much. You're truly beautiful and kind.
Why? I'm just curious. Why did you start wearing wigs?
Oh, because I was on Snowbirds when we were filming Snowbirds. Mm-hmm. And the hairdressers kept coloring the gray out of my hair and teasing it and putting extensions in, pulling them out, and it was thinning.
Got it.
And the girls all wear, you know, not, I don't believe Hillary does, but.
This is all by
the girls all wear wigs. I mean,
me too.
The word you're looking for is extensions.
No, it's toppers.
Okay.
You know, and so Rosalind was kind enough to give me her wig girl. Romina was kind enough to give me one. And I think it looks pretty damn good.
You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that you feel like you need to clear the air about with these girls? I don't feel like you and Rosalind are 100% there.
I'm very upset and hurt. I never thought Rosalind would say the things she did when I was sitting outside listening to her. Other than that, I thought we were actually fine. I really mean that.
Well, can you understand?
And I've been going up to her saying, you know, let's be friends. But, you know, we have to do it.
Gail, can I help you?
You've sent a lot of texts. I've seen them, the voicemails and the texts, and you've ripped into her.
Yeah.
So she's now speaking in, okay. like, basically in response to that.
You know what is so funny?
And you went on
she doesn't invite you to any of the parties.
But listen to me. Throwing evil to people is not going to make things any better.
She knows where I want
to
go.
She's responding to the not nice things that you've been sending her. No, but you've been sending her not nice things.
No, she keeps saying I'm jealous.
No. But you're sending her not nice things. I've seen the messages.
Like what?
Basically, like, you are, the thing is, like, you don't belong here, you don't belong there, they're coming for you.
That is not true. Her phone is right over there. Okay. Show me one text.
You know, but
our phone is right here.
Talk to each other. Okay, I don't want you to tell me. I would like you to talk directly.
Okay, I would like you to show me one text.
We're not going to do the text right now.
Yeah.
One text.
I'm not talking about that.
Gail, here's what I'm going to ask.
Because it doesn't exist.
Gail, here's what I'd like to say about this.
No, it doesn't exist.
Gail, look at me. Take a break.
Because I actually loved you. With all my heart and soul,
on public TV and talk about it,
Roslyn, I had loved you very much. I supported you. I introduced you to all my girlfriends in Palm Beach. You think they were all yours? Those are my girlfriends. Okay, now they've become yours, but they've become both of ours. And I even said to you the other day, "Let's make this nice. We're like in a divorce." Where our girlfriends are having to make decisions.
I don't put anyone in the middle. Only you do that.
Fine.
You send people videos of me dancing. You say, look how low class she is.
Well, honestly,
I am a dancer.
And up to here, and you're trying to represent Mar-a-Lago. You're trying to represent Palm Beach.
You're posting videos saying that you're a caviar whore on your social media.
Oh, no, you know what that was about?
You're a self-professed caviar whore.
No, I'll tell you what that was about. That was about
Tasha's
mother said that she had an orgasm when she was giving birth to you.
Which is a true story.
Yeah. So I was saying I had an orgasm when I was eating caviar.
I know, so why is it okay?
So why is that okay for
you? Let's not shame women for their sexuality.
I can never get a woman when she's talking.
Okay, Gail, I'm going to stop you because you got to understand. You speak, but then you don't let people respond. And I'm going to give you a piece of advice. I feel like you're being honest when you talk to her and you say you introduced her to people, and I think you feel hurt or left out or something. And I feel like that's honest from you. But then when it backfires when you just get nasty. So she heard it because we all heard it. And I think you were being real when you said it. But she also feels a certain way. So just let her say what she feels. And maybe if you hear it instead of just hearing what you want to respond to her, then maybe you guys can work something out. Because I think she needs to feel heard. I think that's the issue.
You don't listen and you don't let me speak. And you don't respect my boundaries as a person. You do that with a lot of people, I think, unknowingly. But I did bring you on the show. I did bring you to the club with me. I am the one who brought you. I took you on the show.
You mean the tickets I paid for?
Excuse me. No. I treated you to the fashion show at Mar-a-Lago that you sat next to me. I treated you for the Place of Hope luncheon. Yes, I paid for you. Yes, I did. Yes.
You've never paid to me.
That's a different conversation.
Because she didn't want the two of you.
She didn't
want the two of you.
Yes, but the truth is that I stood up for you. The viewers only know that they saw up to episode 8, and Roslyn was diehard at sticking up for Gail. No matter what you did, you could do no wrong. Even though it's clear now that what you did was bragging or talking or saying, I know this, you know, whatever Tasha said you did. Okay. I stood up for you, though. I said, Gail doesn't do any of that. To the end. Like,
yes, you were.
The messages that I get are they've never seen a friend stick up for someone that much. And mm-hmm. the first time that you got on a podcast and got some media, who do you trash? You trash me.
No, I trashed the
That's exactly. No, you trashed me. You said I did a blowjob to the baton.
No, I did not.
You did. Actually, we have it, and you did, and you
not you.
It. You did.
Yeah, you
not
said
you.
You said Rosalyn did a blowjob.
No, I'm sorry, but
you said Rosalyn.
You may have met me in your head.
I met you.
No,
you kept tapping, and I heard you even admit on film that you were tapping. yes, Maria's ass with it. But you know what? Once. This is Palm Beach.
It was Renita's.
And everybody wants to be in Palm Beach. And in Palm Beach, you know, we respect, even though it's a metaphor of the crown and the baton, but we respect certain metaphors and we don't mock them. You know, there's
but we were mocking. We were just having fun.
I know.
Yeah. Girls,
you know, I'm
you said you don't go out. This is like Palm Beach after 8 o'clock.
I am very
proud. I have to ask Hillary's opinion. Do you think, well, we both know it's a metaphor because it's tiaras, but if someone receives a crown,
she you really want it. My opinion?
Yes.
I think that the entire concept is embarrassing to
it's
me.
Embarrassing.
As let me finish, and please don't talk over me. Because I don't stand for it. I think that the entire thing is embarrassing. It's particularly embarrassing to me because I spend a lot of time on the island. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the reasons that the people on the island are so offended is because of the whole queen thing. I certainly didn't ask for that. And additionally, when I was asked personally, do you think you're the queen of Palm Beach? My answer to that question in the chair, okay, was I absolutely do not think I'm the queen of Palm Beach.
And I'm not.
Let me finish. I do not think I'm the queen of Palm Beach. And the only queen I know is Elizabeth. And unfortunately, she just passed away. And there's probably a couple of other queens in the world. Yeah. Like there is a queen of Holland, actually. And I couldn't remember what other queens there were. But I find it insulting to depict that any of us would even remotely be the queen of Palm Beach. Because none of us are even at the caliber or ever were at the caliber of some of the people who are very good friends of mine who give hundreds of millions of dollars towards charities. And I find the whole charitable thing also a little
despicable.
Let me finish. Despicable and embarrassing because of all the people that I'm close with who do put out all this money and time and effort that really is needed to support those charities in Palm Beach. And none of them are in this room.
No.
And never were in this room.
She's been here 4 years.
So I would just like to say, having sat on many committees, and by the way, I downplayed the charity thing because I was so horrified by it, but I'm on 5 or 6 different charities this year. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. You know, I don't like to pontificate about it. I just do whatever I do for friends who ask
me. And that's wonderful.
And I think I'm doing Wags to Riches this Saturday if anybody wants to come.
I'm willing.
And I think that the notion was comical, but it was taken too far.
It was taken too far.
And I think one of the reasons that we've taken such a hit on the island is because it was taken too far.
Exactly.
And so I'm particularly emotional on the topic because I don't like
I agree with you.
To feel like I'm presented as thinking that I am the queen of Palm Beach.
Exactly.
And as
but Rosalind did think
but,
she
but
was.
Becoming yeah, let me finish.
You crowned her.
No, let me finish. Like even let me just say this. Like even on the poster, you know, I'm in the middle of this poster which says who's the queen of Palm Beach, and it kind of makes me look like I think I am. And I'm sensitive about that because I definitely don't think I am. And my comments let me finish. I definitely don't think I am. And when I was in the chair, I said it and it got cut. And I would like for that to have been on there because I think I took a hit from a couple people about that topic.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, it's very personal.
Okay? I agree with you.
And I live here year round and I spend a lot more time here than you do. And I, you know, and I, at least in recent years, because I know you used to spend a lot more time, I've spent a lot more time with these people than anybody here. And I've taken the biggest hit for that.
So do you care that we were playing with the batons? In a,
it is comical.
In a,
I think it's a joke.
No, at least that's good.
Yeah,
right. No, I got
to an 11-year-old's birthday in Palm Beach.
I got a fake crown
because it is a joke.
Made it a joke.
Do you actually, Hillary, think that somebody's doing this to a?
I don't watch anybody's Instagram, and I don't watch any of these podcasts. And the only podcast I watched, was Rosalind's. Because we're in our own back and forth.
And Rachel's all the time.
I love Rachel, but I am not particularly filled with lots of time to watch Instagram and podcasts and things like that. Right now, I'm trying to sell my $42.5 million gorgeous mansion on the water.
Well, so, Flagler, on Flagler. Like that's inappropriate. No, because it's a joke.
Guys, let's not do a side conversation. Sorry.
You're just talking now, but the truth is, you were on every podcast saying I did sexual acts with the baton, you're taking back the crown.
No, I didn't say sexual acts.
You did. And you went on Mike, I forget the show.
That upset you in Philadelphia.
And you said to him that Rosalind Yellen was doing sexual acts
with the baton. No, he said it.
You're taking back the crown and the baton. So you were acting like it's real. When I saw it, I laughed and laughed. And
I kept saying it's a metaphor.
And in the chair, I also said, of course I'm not the queen. But
well, I didn't accuse you of any of that.
Yes, I know, just to be clear.
And I just want to help you out a little bit, because the thing is that we watch you on, me, as a viewer and viewers, watch you on the show and assume it's a part, right? But then when you come off the show and you're still talking about them and the baton as it's a real thing. And, you know, you go and your Instagram is filled with you being the grand dame of Palm Beach.
I'm not.
Polo. No, I'm trying to have you understand why I think people get offended or confused. Because I think they think you really do think this. And you think there's all these rules and that you don't have much to say besides that. And I think that's where it comes off wrong. Because, you know, you have a lot more to you, but no one knows about it yet because you talk about all these other things or you talk about what you used to do in the past. So I think that's where the disconnect is. And so I'd like to see more from you. So last question I'm going to have for you. Two last questions. Are there rules in Palm Beach?
Actually, there really are. And even Hillary said it on an episode, you know, right actually on the streamer. She told Boston, there are rules.
What do you think are the rules? The real rules.
The real rules. You know what? Palm Beach has changed so much with all this money coming in. I mean, Hillary is a Palm Beacher, so that's why I'm looking at her. But I think with all this money coming in, that the island, which normally it was, you know, dress codes, who you were with, like, just that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But now it's changed. It's opened up to, you know, for everybody.
Okay, that's interesting. All right. Mm-hmm. Lastly, if there is a season two, what do you, and you said you signed a contract, nobody freak out here. If you said you signed a contract for a second year of a season, we don't know if you have, but do you see a storyline for yourself as a main character?
I'd like to be friends with all the girls.
Okay.
You know, they didn't get to know me. Because honestly, I thought I was always, she put me on the show, didn't get to know anybody. I always had her back when she would tell me this person or that person or Hillary, especially Hillary, you know, Taja, especially Taja.
You've never done to me on the show, you never had to.
I took that, you know, that side. And I apologize to all of you for that because that was wrong. I really am just a normal girl. I don't say I'm wealthy. I don't brag. I don't need to drive a Rolls Royce. Actually, if I want one, I can get one. You know, it's like a joke.
I don't
this, like, you know, and if I wanted a house in Highland on the highway, I could get one. You know, I don't need that. I don't need the fluff. I'm just a normal
person. You're just a person.
I'm a businesswoman.
Yeah.
You actually told me that you are a backyard barbecue type of girl.
Oh, I am, definitely.
Okay.
Can I ask one thing?
Sure.
Because, you know, you said before that you went all over the press saying that I'm a liar, that you never threatened me at my events, which that is not proper etiquette. But then you just said you apologized. So what were you apologizing for if I was lying?
I'm trying to make us all friends.
No, but you apologized there on the red. You were saying, I'm so sorry. Did you hear her say
about,
do you remember that?
About the
no,
lawsuit.
You said, Gail, it's too late for the apology. At the premiere.
Did I follow you? I just stood at the thing. I didn't follow.
You said it's a little too late for that. You can't backtrack. So what were you apologizing for if you never threatened
because
me?
Because I wanted to stay. My girlfriends were all in there. You know, I had Cindy Karen in there. I had Lisa Rollin.
I hope you learned a lesson.
Dottie.
I just hope you learned a lesson because you did threaten me.
I threatened you not physically, that there might be a lawsuit coming.
But that's a threat.
But I didn't.
Is that
even,
not a threat?
I didn't even know until I went to read it.
She's saying, have you learned the lesson that maybe you shouldn't threaten a lawsuit if you don't even know what you're threatening?
I don't believe anybody should threaten a lawsuit. I don't know why she has one against her. She also threatened to put a lawsuit against me.
But then you shouldn't go all over the press and say that I was lying.
Character.
Because I was not.
I mean, Rosin is into lawsuit.
That's I've never seen anyone in my life. And I've never been sued.
Well, you
life.
Did threaten me with defamation
because
of character.
You were saying I did sexual acts
you
with the time.
You did,
but
it was. But
you're not even more
sending
a cease and desist. How do you like that? You're not even. Because everyone knows you're a joke. So there you go.
You know what, Rosalind? Yeah. You're the joke, and you're well, a one. You're
you
a one.
Stop! Stop! Stop!
This
stop.
Is too toxic. It's too toxic.
In Palm Beach, in Palm Beach. Get through your
wait,
two, get through your two events, Rosalind, and you're going to see you're a one-hit wonder that needs to stay in Boca.
Okay. With that, we're going to take a break.
Highland Beach.
Yeah, Boca.
And everyone's going to say goodbye to Gail.
That's all they need to say.
You should be embarrassed of yourself.
George,
you should look in the mirror.
Quiet. Yeah. Quiet.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you should.
Look at the video.
I don't talk about you to anybody. But okay, you are sending everyone videos.
Okay, well, listen. You don't want to get your ass. Stay here. We're talking about season two.
Like a, really?
Okay, George.
I'm acting like a whore, she said.
But you see, now you know how she got kicked out.
I'm married and faithful.
Lacey.
That's not like a whore.
I know my name.
Jonathan.
I know my name.
She just said that I'm acting like a whore.
In this video.
Yeah, she just said it.
Rosalind.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Okay.
Look at me.
My husband is with me when I'm dancing and he loves it.
This episode is sponsored by OHO, a brand I've recently been loving. What makes OHO great is that it's designed with wellness in mind. The ingredients are thoughtfully formulated and known for their health-supporting benefits while still being low-calorie and refreshing, which is something I really appreciate. It's one of those drinks that feels elevated, but also light and easy, perfect for relaxing, unwinding, or just enjoying something different from the usual sugary beverages. Another thing that I love about OHO is that they're a small company, and I'm always happy to support brands that are passionate about their products and their community. And it's not just the drinks. OHO also offers gummies and chocolates. There are different ways to enjoy their products depending on what you are looking for and what you're in the mood for. So if you want to try it for yourself, we have a special discount code for listeners, which you can find in my link tree, or go check out OHO and support a great small business and let me know what you think. Go to www.weareoho.com. That's weareoho.com and use code MISS15 for 15% off. That's MISS15 for 15% off.
What if I told you that the idea that you only get parasites when you travel to some exotic country is flat wrong? Millions of Americans carry parasites right now, often without symptoms. For example, it's estimated that millions in the United States have been exposed to Toxocara, a parasitic worm, yet most never even know it. Parasites do not need a plane ticket. They can enter through tap water, sushi, undercooked foods, or contaminated produce. Some strains live in all stages, eggs, larvae, adults, hidden in your gut, releasing toxins that sabotage your energy and digestion. That's why I'm excited about Parify, Kim Rogers' 30-day full-spectrum parasite cleanse. The kit works by clearing parasites, worms, candida, and heavy metals, targeting parasites in all life stages, supporting gut health, detox pathways, and toxin removal. It's taken orally, daily, for 30 days with precise dosing. Go to rogershood.com and use the code Rachel to get 10% off of your order. That's R-A-C-H-E-L for 10% off. Give it a try. Maybe your body's missing link is hiding inside. Let's do this together. Again, it's rogershood.com, R-O-G-E-R-S-H-O-O-D.com, and use the code Rachel for 10% off.
There is a world of opportunity out there beyond the typical 9-to-5 where purpose and grit and the American spirit come together in the Peace Corps. It's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough because it asks so much of you. And the love part is knowing your hard work can transform lives and build bridges across cultures. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve. That's PEACECORPS.gov/serve.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Okay, so that was really interesting having Gail here. All of you had a lot of feelings about that.
Oh, cool.
They are suggesting you should become a therapist. So let's talk to you for a second because we haven't talked a lot to you.
Highly unqualified. Let's go.
What did you think after the show came out? How did it affect your business?
I mean, when I watched the show, I was happy, like, with everything with the show. Obviously, I saw things that I wasn't a part of. Like, you watch scenes that you weren't part of filming. Mm-hmm. So I don't like to watch myself on television. I don't like to listen to my voice recorded. I'm just one of those people. It's the thing. So I wasn't planning on watching the show, which my husband thought was ridiculous. But he did make sense. He said to me, well, how are you going to know how to respond to the ladies? Like, how are you going to know what happened? I'm like, oh, damn, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why I sat down and watched the whole, like, all 8 episodes. But I was happy. I feel like I was depicted accurately.
Okay.
I was kind of, like, surprised by some of the things, like, people said in their, like, interviews. I was like, oh, no, she didn't. Touche. But I wasn't surprised because I know what I signed up for. And at the end of the day, I felt like even when we were at interviews, we were all a little cheeky.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what kind of makes our friend group fun is like, you know, a little kiss, a little like, you know, tap on the cheek or whatever.
Right.
So I was happy with it. And I feel like the response that we got afterwards, I was very surprised, is that I ended up getting a huge influx, like an influx of like great reception from viewers.
Great.
And I did not think that that would be the case because when we wrapped filming, I said to myself, I was kind of like down on myself because I thought, gosh, I wish I didn't cry as much. Like,
I love you.
It's okay.
Are you crying now? But I'll tell you why. Because I feel like I need to explain.
Okay. She really doesn't cry this much in normal life.
No, I'll tell you what.
But it's okay. It's all right.
So, like, even now when Rosalind was sitting next to me and I could hear, like, when Gail was talking or other people were talking and I could hear, like, Rosalind breathing next to me. And it's, like, literally I can hear her breathing change. Like, when she's in that mode of, like, wanting to respond or she feels like, and I can hear it in her breathing. So it's, like, everybody regulates their nervous system differently. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for me, because I'm very ADHD and I'm very, like, emotionally expressive. So when I'm either really happy or really sad, or if I'm very passionate about something, my nervous system, like, it's always like up, down. Like, you think it's a lot of work. You should see my husband. He's like, oh God. He's like, what's going on now? He's got to come sit down.
That's a good man.
So I know, right? He's the same. So I just feel like sometimes when I feel like somebody is an underdog or being ganged up on, or if I feel like even now, like you ask me a question and if I feel misunderstood, I feel like my nervous system, my auto response is like, that's how I let go of my stress. Mm-hmm. Like when I hear you going, like for me, it's just like, as soon as I let the tears out, it feels so good.
Yeah.
Like even when I'm happy, sometimes I cry and I'm like, it's for somebody. I'm like, that's so beautiful.
But I feel like you're an empath. Like, you know, you have a lot of empathy and it comes out in an emotion.
Right.
And I know that there was, you know, at the beginning of the show, too, there was a lot of talk about you were too emotional and whether or not that was real. But it clearly seemed like for you, it's real. And that's how you express yourself. And maybe it's triggered by childhood trauma. Maybe it's just because you're an empath and you feel a lot.
All of it. Yeah, I agree. And listen, I do agree. Like, I watched the show back. Would there have been times that I wished that I didn't cry in certain moments? Yes. Or are there times that I did cry and I wish that, you know, maybe some people were more empathetic at the time that I was crying? Of course. But at the end of the day, I see both sides. Like, I do agree that there are appropriate times. And I wish if I could somehow retrain my nervous, I've worked my whole life and I'm like work in progress. If I could somehow learn how to hold that in at a dinner table where, you know, I'm at someone's home, that's goals for me. Like if I could do that and one day be able to achieve that, I love to take that home and unpack it at home. Like, I don't like to unpack stuff like when I'm out sometimes. You know what I mean?
But to see it as a positive, I mean, I know it's like something you want to work on, but it makes you very relatable and it makes people feel for you and it makes people like feel like, oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, because you're authentic in whatever way you feel you need to be.
Yeah.
So I do
I
love
don't
that.
Like, want you to come away from the show feeling like that's something you need to change.
No. I feel like it's something that I would love to, not to so much like suppress, just to be a little bit more understood for it and to learn how to refine it a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do love that all the people that reached out, I have like so many messages and people wrote stories, like paragraphs, similar stories, or, you know, thanking me for being real and raw, because I feel like especially Palm Beach, a lot of the representation of Palm Beach is people are superficial. People are not themselves. People don't feel comfortable saying, I feel, isolated today. I feel fat today. I don't feel pretty today. I don't have friends. Can I sit at the lunch table? Like, our vulnerabilities are something that we hold inside all the time. So for me, it feels good sometimes to say, hey, I don't feel okay today. Yeah. Like, hey, I don't feel like you're being a good friend today. Like, hey, like when Hillary and I talked after we finished filming, we sat on the phone one night. I honestly feel like it was almost 4 hours. Like we were on it was 4 hours. My husband fell asleep on the couch and he woke up and he's like, God, are you guys still on the phone? But it was such a great phone conversation because we bonded in that call. And, you know, we probably both said a couple of like F-bombs, but we both like spoke in understanding one another and like, you know, being vulnerable, not being vulnerable. And at the end of the day, I feel like sometimes I know some people are like, oh God, here goes Maria. She's a therapist again. I can't help but want to appeal to people sometimes when I feel that they too have something. Like, for example, I spoke earlier about the tension with Taja. And I really want to say this to you directly because I haven't had a chance to like tell you. So I feel that there has been some tension where there's been some divide and we haven't talked in the past several weeks. I wish that wasn't true. You know what I mean? I wish that we were on good terms and, you know, people see us hanging out. We're doing TikToks and I wish it could be with all you guys. I know you probably don't want to do a TikTok with us, but whatever. But what I'm saying is that I feel like sometimes there's always going to be a time that one of us is not happy. One of us is not mad at the other person or whatever. I just feel sometimes I wish we could maybe dig into our nicer, appealing place where we say, hey, you know, you hurt me. And I feel like I don't have that comfort with you. Like, I feel like sometimes if I feel a certain way, I don't feel that our friendship feels safe for me to like be like, hey, this is what I'm feeling or this is what I heard. Because I feel like the invitation emotionally hasn't been there from you because we all keep ourselves differently. So maybe for you, you like to kind of navigate a certain way because you don't like all that mushy stuff, or I don't know. I personally, it's a me thing. I don't feel like I have that comfort to like come and try to appeal to you in that regard. But also too, it's like, I feel like a lot of times when stuff does happen, you do go into like this very like masculine space. And I feel like I'm always digging into my inner child. I feel like I do have trauma from my childhood and you've spoken about it a little bit. I feel like sometimes when you do throw daggers, is it coming from like a place where, hey, you know what they always say, hurt people hurt people. Like, and I think to myself, maybe Taja's not meaning to like not be nice right now. You know what I mean? Maybe that's like a defense mechanism. Like,
well, I don't think that it was always like this with us. I think that you, when you cried in that scene at Hillary's house, like I cried too. Like I was upset seeing you upset. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think that's the case. Maybe now because of, you know, things that I've heard, you heard, he said, she said, I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Like, this group has had a lot of conflict.
I agree.
And we can find resolution as well. But don't, like, twist it on me.
No, because no, no. I'm not twisting it. What I'm trying to say is that it has been, like, I have found an in with everybody so far. And it was a puzzle piece for me to work out with Hillary. It was a puzzle piece for me to work out with Roslyn. Because I didn't have that in the beginning.
I get that, but
so what I'm saying is that you're the one puzzle piece.
But we have figured that out in the past, haven't we?
I don't think we've ever 100% figured it out. I feel like
maybe not 100%.
We've always come out of the gate, and then there's always been something that's happened, and then we restarted.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like
we'll just have to restart again.
Are you open to restarting
with her? Of course, I'm always open to.
Is that okay with you?
All positive things.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I just, you know what I like about the group? What I appreciate is that, you know, like you're always going to hear things from other people. I do value when somebody can say to me, hey, yeah, you know what? I did say that. Or I didn't say it like that. But yeah, you know what? You did piss me off. So I wasn't happy. And I feel like those are like adult conversations that you could have with people.
Totally.
But I find it difficult sometimes when it's a situation where if I'm, you know, if people are telling me that you're saying not nice things about us.
Oh my God. I can't tell you how many people say that about you, about me.
Well, listen.
So, and it goes in one ear and out the other. I don't want to hear it.
But I'm being very, listen, I will be honest with you. Yeah. There in the past several weeks when there are known things that there's discord, and I know for a fact that it is coming from your side, and I'm hurt. And I'm like, that's not cool. Taja can be hurtful. Taja's not a nice person. I do say these things. I'm actually admitting it. I'm admitting it.
Same.
I do say these things. But when the other side is, there's no accountability. And for 2 years, for there to be that you've never once said, it's hard to feel that you're authentic. It's hard to feel that there's any investment other than just one side. Like, just, that's it. This is all you get. And it's hard to connect. We talked about this.
Like I said, maybe that's how it's been recently, because I've had enough of the he said, she said. I don't want to bring up all the bad things you've said about her and all the bad things she said.
We talked about it. We talked about it.
I don't. It's so negative that I can't even do the he said, she said.
But this is what
I'm
saying.
I really can't. And that's not inauthentic. It's a waste of my time and energy. I don't put energy into negative things. If you want, because that's not how you resolve
it. But this is how people are feeling. I'm telling you how I'm feeling.
Okay, so let me stop you. Can I just help for a second? Mm-hmm. I think she's trying. She acknowledges that she said bad things and other people have, and she's admitting that. I think what she's trying to say to you is she wants more from you. She wants more from your friendship. She wants to be better friends. Forget what happened in the past. Let's all.
And I just said I'm open to that moving forward. So why talk about the past?
So I think you're suggesting that happened in the past.
It didn't happen.
And
what didn't happen?
She's suggesting that none of it happened. Like, what I'm saying doesn't exist.
Right. So she's just asking for you to be open to moving forward and being better friends. And something I would say to all of you, I mean, you don't have to listen to me, but listening to all of you guys talk, again, I bring up this shared trauma bond. I would suggest if people talk to you guys that you don't know, that you know, maybe say, yeah, I understand that's how you thought of Maria or Taja or Hillary on the show. But you know what? I know them. I have my opinion. I was there. I don't want to get into it, you know, because you guys are the glue that holds this together. If you guys get a season two, you guys got to stick together.
Yes.
I mean, you don't have to have a villain. You know, all of you guys want to do well and should.
Right.
I mean, I know human nature. It's hard to want everyone to do well. Right. Again. And you guys are all very different people. But the bottom line is my suggestion going forward. I feel like you guys all want to try to have some semblance of niceties between you, and it would be helpful that when someone says to you, someone said something, whatever, about them, to be like, you know what, you're not being a good friend right now because it's starting up bullshit with me and Marie. You know, if somebody says something to you, you could be like, you know what, I know Taja, I don't want to hear it. Like, you know, Taja's a friend of mine, we have our own issues, but you don't need to tell me. You know, so like, keep everyone else out when it comes to you five, is my suggestion. I think it'd be better. Because, and then just goes directly to each other and say, I'm hearing this, it's hurting me, as opposed to, fuck you, I'm going to sue you.
But
you
and between each other, too.
Yes, and between each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
It's between each other. Right.
That's kind of why I've been staying away, because I didn't want to hear the between us also. Because
and also, it's that
speaking, like in the media, though, like you were still talking of us, not with us.
But also, she's seeing the three of you guys on, you know, certain posts, and then it's maybe.
But this was
Hillary.
Before. This was right out the gate.
I get it. I'm just saying leading up to. So here we are now.
No, that happened actually right out the gate.
What do you mean? The media that you did?
No, like the immediately like.
Well, yeah, because you're saying.
No, because this is what happens before every, like before we filmed the presentation, it was like a group, let's go against Taja. And then.
But that's how you feel. Taja. If everybody sees something one way and you see it differently, listen. Yeah. Listen.
I think she's talking about the party, the first party.
No.
Okay, but it wasn't going
to be. I wasn't against
you.
Can I listen?
You were
there. Yes.
It wasn't
excluded.
You were there. I think that Taja at my house at the Mealy Mealy felt very picked on. I remember that. And you know what? I then became a picked on person, and Taja stood up for me. I think
for me, it's really unusual with this group to feel like I'm actually in the middle all of a sudden. And I don't want to be in the middle of the three of you and Tasha. And that's how
part of that party, you and I were in the middle with me.
You and I talked.
You apologized to me. Yes.
Right.
But for like having that group, that original group, go against me. Don't you remember? That was, you said I should have minded my own business.
Oh, with the other two girls.
What do you know?
Sometimes
should have
minded my own business.
Can I speak?
That's what you said.
Listen.
We're gonna really doesn't matter what he said and she said.
We're not going back.
But I'm just, but you're saying how you feel, so I'm telling you my life.
But this is what I'm saying.
So I'm acknowledging your feelings and I'm telling you about my feelings. All right. So moving forward, I would like to have resolution. We had a conflict.
Good.
Let's focus on a solution. I'm not
but
on a solution
what I'm saying person. Is that okay. What I'm saying is that because you said recently that you feel isolated, like, you, but I feel like you don't see that you put yourself on that island.
Possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. I'm not
good. That's the most beautiful thing you've ever
That's
said.
Great.
That's the most beautiful.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Romina, hold on one second. Romina, do you have something you would like to add?
I think I'm over it.
You sure?
Say what you wanted to say.
No, it's okay.
No, Romina
Please.
Was going to say things that tied into going back to that party because she feels that there's never been resolution. Here's the thing. I don't like to go back and bring stuff up, but it's hard when, you know, somebody says that none of that reality existed when it did.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is the... I've realized that with some friendships, you just... You have to see people for who they are and their capacity.
And also,
that's not a bad thing.
And to also understand that each person has their own truth. And
they
come there from their own personal experience. You never know why somebody is maybe colder than you or more emotional than you or gets angry by certain things. You just have to remember that sometimes you're assuming they're being a terrible person, but it might be because that's your experience.
But this isn't an assumption.
I understand.
What I'm upset about is more of what is true and what actually happened. And this wasn't aired. But one of the biggest arguments that happened between me and Tasha, and which was one of the main parts of the pilot episode, was that I felt like Tasha was being kind of untruthful by creating a clothing brand out of nowhere and then stating that she's been a fashion designer for 20 years. And to me, I took it personally because I took a lot of time and I've spent a lot of money and I spent a lot of hard work into producing a clothing brand. And that's what I wanted to showcase on this show. And here you are coming in saying, well, I'm a designer too, buying clothes from Amazon and putting your name on it. And we have the proof. And so I felt very, very kind of like upset about that because I'm like, wait a minute, you're going to come in and take all this,
what word am I looking for?
Credit, thank you. All this credit for something that I put in so much time, effort, and money into. And so I felt very upset about that. And then when I tried to speak to you about it, it became this, you know, huge argument where you stormed out. I don't even remember what you said. I was hoping they were going to air it so I could see. And when I spilled the drink in Hillary, we were in Hillary's closet to begin with because I was talking about this. And it was so freaking crazy that out of all the things in Hillary's closet, I spilled on Tasha's jacket. That's why I was so afraid when she told me that it was Tasha's.
Red fur jacket.
Yeah, my heart like fell to my stomach. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Out of all the
things. That was on the show.
That part, but they didn't explain why it was such a big deal. And that was because we just got into this big argument. And I just feel like, listen, I would not care if you were like a fashion designer too. I think that's amazing. But like that night, now you also came out with a song. I'm like, okay, so first, you're a fashion designer.
I only did that when I heard your name. Never before. Come on.
Well, that's what it seems like because there's no proof of it from before.
Let's get that out.
So it just seemed like you wanted to create a storyline, which they didn't end up using anyway.
Okay, so end of story.
You inspire. It's flattering.
Okay. So,
but I'm still like hurt about that, and I just wanted you to understand why I was hurt, not because I felt, you know, like. I just felt like it was something where you wanted to take the credit for something that I was doing. And maybe I'm completely wrong.
But we
never talked about this.
You're completely wrong.
Go ahead.
This is like.
Do you want to just say why a little more? You had this before.
I do not. Okay. I don't want to discuss this because it's an insane accusation that ever since I heard her name, I became interested in music and fashion.
The other thing that you don't know is that me and Rosalind are wearing her designs at her wedding, which they didn't include in the show, which I'm glad about because those also were just Amazon dresses. And
no, they were white label. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were white. If you knew anything about business, you would know what that meant.
Well, they are white label, but they are also, found them on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but they're also
white. I know what that means. Speaking of which, let's change the subject here. Hillary, you renewed your vows on a yacht during the show. I must say, because we all know you're on Husband 5, so can you give us some tips or what you learned having this many husbands on why this one's going to last and your thoughts on marriage and how people should find lasting love?
That's exactly what my book is going to be about.
Oh, is it?
So you're really hitting right on the nail on the head. I'll give a little preview.
Please.
Here on this podcast. Well, Husband Number 5, as you all have met, is a great guy.
You like
him? Yes. Re-proof. Thank you.
Yeah.
He is always laughing, smiling. He's always happy, wakes up happy. And I think for me, what makes it work is what made my relationship with Cooper's dad work for so long, was he's amused by me. Because to know me, you really have to be amused by me. Otherwise, you know, we're not going to get very far because I am who I am. And, you know, sometimes I'm all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, I too have adult ADHD. I'm doing a million things at once. I am working 18 hours a day and you have to be amused. You have to think that's cute because, you know, I'm not your typical wife. I'm not making dinner. I'm not catering. So the relationship works for us because he thinks I'm cute. You know, I mean, you know, that's it.
I love that.
And the other, and so did Pete Mutzer, right? And maybe that was because he was so much older, right? So that sort of makes sense. He found everything I did adorable. He was mesmerized by my work ethic. He didn't mind sitting in a car with me for hours with me still making business calls on the way to the Poconos.
Yeah.
Instead of getting mad at me, which maybe a guy my own age would have been like, pay attention to me.
Sure.
Get off the phone. He was like, way to go, girl. You know.
He lets you be you.
Right. So that's why those two relationships are my two best and my two faves and my two true loves. In between, I think I had a rebound relationship with a really hot guy. And that
I
was
see pictures of these guys.
He was really hot.
There is the hot guy.
And you know, it was just that. I think a girlfriend of mine said, if you don't want him, I have 20 other girls who do. And I was like, no, I guess I'll take him. you know, I didn't like dating and it was too quick of a decision, but he was a great dad to my son. And he had a wonderful daughter who happened to have been blind. So there was a lot of family empathy for my family, you know, for her. And that was a very loving between the two kids. So that worked for a while until it didn't. You know, intellectually, we were not a good fit, if I could say it that way. And then the next husband was the opposite. Super smart, banker, very conservative.
Not good looking?
Handsome.
Okay.
Very handsome, actually. I saw him at Starbucks, and I knew immediately that he was supposed to be my husband and that he was a banker from Chicago. That's a little bit of the white witch in me, and it turned out to be true.
Wow.
He was at Truist, BB&T at the time. He was up on that Worth Avenue thing. He was at Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And when he walked down the Via, I was like, oh, my God, the guy I'm supposed to marry just left. And I thought about it all week, and then all of a sudden he was walking by me on the street, and I said to my sister, I've got to hang up the phone because my next husband just walked right by me. And I literally chased him down the street and said, hi back, because he said hi to me. It was a very cute moment that ended up lasting in a 9-year relationship where at the end of it, I just sort of said, don't you think we ought to
call it quits. We're like roommates.
Right.
There was no drama. There was no cheating.
Was that husband number three?
Four.
Oh, okay.
One was pre-Pete and didn't count because I would have been annulled if I was Catholic.
So do we think this one is going to last? Is your goal to make it last forever?
I think you remember them all so well.
Yeah.
The goal is, yes, I am definitely not looking or thinking or ever going to have a husband number six. I'm sure.
I'm not sure. All right. I have some fan questions. People wrote in and asked you guys specific questions. We're going to go through these quick, so quick answers. Okay. Rosalind, how has being a parent of five children shaped who you are and how you stay so positive?
Being a mom and having five children was obviously the most important thing in my life. Mm-hmm. I was a full-time mother. I devoted my time to them. I enjoyed it so much. My goal was to make amazing adults, and all five of them are high-achieving, amazing adults who support themselves. I'm very proud of them. We had a lot of fun along the way. My husband and I built everything that we have together. And it's been very fulfilling. And I really did fulfill my dreams by moving here. And I'm very proud of the life that we've built. And I have four grandchildren.
Wow.
I love that.
A follow-up question to that is, what is your secret to stay so happy and positive?
Because I love my life. And I have a wonderful life. I mean, I have an amazing husband. I'm extremely happy. And I'm grateful. I think it's very important to be grateful because there's always going to be people who are wealthier, who are prettier, who are very accomplished, mm-hmm. who have what seems like everything. But we have to be grateful for what we do have and count our own blessings. And we have to really realize that it's not a competition. That everyone is for themselves, and gratitude makes you realize, you know, I do, I have it all.
I love that answer. Okay. Romina, who was the most fashionable on the show and why?
You can say yourself.
We all knew. What you say was good.
I think everyone actually like had really fabulous outfits. And I like that everyone dressed to their own, like, personal, you know, style. I think everyone should have the space to do that, and we shouldn't judge each other's outfits.
Okay. Taja, you have a big brand. Was doing the show worth it, and has it affected your personal brand or your professional brand in either way, good or bad?
No, it definitely helped. I've got more followers and more sales, and didn't hurt it, so...
So it was a good decision.
Yeah.
Maria, did anybody surprise you when you watched it back when the cameras were rolling about how a cast member changed, either a good way or a bad way?
I would say that I understood Rosalind a lot better. I think Rosalind and Hillary both. I think when we were never really like close. We were always friendly over the years. We became better friends in the past like year and a half, 2 years. But then after watching the show back, because they always say that you don't know somebody until you've walked a mile in their shoes or their story. So I understood Rosalind from a completely different perspective. So I had a lot more appreciation because sometimes we get stuck in our own stories. But then I understood why she is the way she is sometimes. And I have more empathy towards that because I understand her better. So I understand like her love language. So even though sometimes I feel like she's being a certain way, I have a better understanding. And then with Hillary, too, believe it or not, I found... that, you know, quite surprisingly, we had a lot more in common. Like, and people would not think that. They would be like, DJ Tumble's the most crass one. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Hillary, like, she's too uptight. Because, you know, and I tell people when they write us, they're like, how about that Hillary? I'm like, how about that Hillary? I'm like, you don't know. Yeah. Like, she's cool. The funny thing is that, like, the people only saw certain sides of us on the show. So it's funny because I feel like we are all very multifaceted. And hopefully with the season two, you guys will get to see a lot more of that because we're funny together like a lot of times. Like there's more depth to us. There's like just a lot more.
Right.
Yeah.
Hillary, so we all saw your closets and your home, right? So what is the number one thing in your life that having $1 million in your bank account has not been able to fix or protect you from? Not assuming you only have $1 million in your bank account, but you know, you understand the question, right?
To fix.
Like, what is money without money, like, you know, what does money not fix or help, but in your life? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, happiness is the answer, right? I mean, money definitely does not buy you happiness. And I've definitely been where I am now, which is somewhere in the middle. And I've been up here and I've been down here. Mm-hmm. And I would just say in the people that have known me for 40 years, 30 years, I'm aging myself, but we'll tell you, I've never changed, right? My attitude towards life, the amount that I smile, my level of happiness has never changed. I don't actually know what it's like to feel depressed because I don't allow myself to go there. I'm always, my sister says to me, I don't know how you're like that jack-in-the-box we had when we grew up, or that clown that you punched him and bounces up like on a spring. Remember that?
Yeah.
Do you guys have one of those?
Yeah.
And she goes, how do you do it? And I said, I don't know. It's just who I am. It's built. It's in my DNA. I don't try to do it. So I think it's just happiness. Like Roslyn so succinctly and well said, you know, her life has brought her a lot of happiness. My life, very different. One child, you know, although he took up a lot of time. You know, I also filled my life with other things that were important to me to feel accomplished. And that was important to me. And so that makes me happy.
Yeah.
And Cooper makes me happy. And the men in my life have some of the time made me happy. But they can't make you happy either. That's the thing about men, is we can't look at them and count on them to make us happy.
Right.
That's true.
You have to find happiness in your purpose and your slot.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so two more things to do. I'd like to go around each person very briefly. And we can actually grab the baton. Rosalind, grab the baton.
Wow.
We've upgraded
Careful.
The baton.
Just don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah. It had a glow up.
I don't think that's going to fit.
Okay. If we could go around briefly and do two things. I'd like you to say, like, give us a little bit. If season two happens, what do you think your storyline is? Where do you want to be? Or, you know, what's happening for you in the future that you want to kind of announce here or talk about that makes you interesting for season two that you're excited about? And the second thing I want you to do is hold the baton and say one nice thing about one cast member to their face.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm really excited if we get season two for lots of fun and surprises and amazing things that we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can all start off on a very positive thought and everyone can enjoy watching the drama, the ups and downs. I think that there's a lot of women in Palm Beach and in Palm Beach County who want to be on the show. And I think that they would make it extremely interesting and spice it up. And I'm excited about that. I also did start my own supplement that I worked on. It'll be 2 years in May. So I'm very excited about that. And I just have a lot. So finally, you know, I fulfilled all my dreams with my love and my family. But this is like my time. The show was something that I did. As everyone knows, like my husband wasn't on the show. He didn't want to be on the show. But he was very supportive of me doing it. He said, I never want to tell you not to do something.
Sure.
So he's like, you know, you go ahead and do it. So now I wanted to pursue this because I did teach dance fitness for many, many years. And I was always into health and beauty. And it's important to me. And I'm very proud of all of the things that I could do. The dance. I could sing, not as beautifully, but I could do it. Oh, I did pageants. Well, no, when I was in pageants as a teenager, that was my talent.
Oh, great.
But, you know, it's just fun. Like, you don't use it, you lose it, which I've lost it for sure.
Got it.
But, you know, I like being in front of the camera. I love doing the reality, and it's just loads and loads of fun. So I'll say something to Maria.
Okay.
Maria. I did not really care for you at first. And you know that because I've told you this before. But as I've gotten to know you and we've been completely open and honest with each other, and what we have said about each other, we've discussed this. I have grown to really love you. And I think that we actually do have a lot more in common than people would ever think or see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take back or regret anything that I said, because what I said has brought me to where we are today. And I do think that you're a lovely person and a wonderful friend, and you have a heart of gold, and I love Damon too.
Oh, my God.
That's very nice.
Did you write that before you came?
No, I just thought.
I love that. You're so sweet. Why are you so? True. This is a bad follow-up. That was so good.
It's true.
I love you.
You know, in the beginning, we did not care for each other. And there were a lot of things that, you know, it's not right.
Yeah.
But I you know, look down upon certain things.
Thank you.
And, you know, I also feel that I've grown from this, and I don't want to do that or be like that.
Thank you. I thank you. I feel that Romina was a big, like, proponent in helping foster that, because my eyes were, like, I was closed off to it. And I was like, Rosalind is so frustrating. But Romina kept appealing to me, opening up, and thank you, because, yes, like, you know what I mean? So, thank you. That was, yeah.
Your turn.
Honestly, you know, getting into, like, a season two or moving forward, you know, the show's been great. We've gotten great reception. I love that people are just loving us. Like, it's amazing. And that's actually helped my DJ, you know, career. If people are wanting us to come out to their, like, they want me to go play in their cities. And it's crazy.
Like, you said, people are traveling here to see you.
Yes. Like, we had a night that we hosted in Delray Beach, and we had people that flew out from South Dakota, like from Michigan. So it's amazing. Like, just to think that people are like, you know, come out to Chicago, come out. So it's been wonderful, because there are opportunities coming out from that. I feel that, you know, moving forward, one thing that I'd love to do is that I landed in Palm Beach as DJ Tumbles. Like, that was my easy shoe-in, because there wasn't a lot of expectation put on me. Like, I was able to come in a different light, where people were a little bit more forgiving. You know, I wasn't scrutinized as much, because they were like, oh, you know, she comes into the front door, the back door, she's the entertainment. And then they got to know me, and they're like, okay, she's cute, like, she, you know, the DJ table.
Yeah.
But that's how I developed a lot of my friendships. I feel that for me, because I'm very... I have a competitive nature where I always want to try to strive for the most. I am driven to try to see if, without Tumbles, Maria can somehow find her place in Palm Beach. I feel that, like, everybody deserves to have a place and a space at every table. And regardless of how Palm Beach has, you know, like, stigmas and how they've been traditionally, I feel that there is room for the, you know, old Palm Beach and for a new Palm Beach and a much more progressive vibe. And I am not going to, honestly, like, I won't give up until I feel like there's been a shift. And we're throwing, you know, the events and stuff like that. And they're accepting of, you know, somebody like me at the table, somebody like Romina at the table.
Right.
You know?
Amazing.
So, yeah. Okay. So, and I have to say that just one person.
Gosh. Yep. Just one.
Okay. What I'd like to say is I'm actually going to exactly what I just said. So I want to thank Romina, because I never thought that little younger you, because I always think, oh, I'm the parent one, that you would be a lesson for me. And you, the one thing I'm most grateful for is that you were a constant for me, and you always have been. And I am grateful for that, because someone like me needs consistency in my friendship. So I value that. Thank you for opening my eyes, because I never would have had the opportunity to get close to Rosalind. We were very misunderstood. So I am grateful that you taught me something. Aww. So thank you very much, because it helped me actually in many of my friendships. So yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's amazing. Hillary?
What I want to get out of the season two?
Yeah, like, what would your storyline be? What are you doing in the future?
Well, I think clearly my storyline will be at the beginning of season two, the sale of the house.
Yes.
That has been a 4-year journey for me. It is by far the most elegant, beautiful, elevated, and expensive house, making it, you know, a big, you know, deal to sell.
And sorry, I want to interrupt you and say, because I think we've all been there, right? Has everybody been there?
To the finished product, I don't think so.
So I've been there, and I want to say that it really was the first time I got to see your work, because on the show,
you know, you see how fancy your own home is. You see a little bit.
Right.
But this, it's more than a spec house. It's a really beautifully done, custom-made home that you are showing me the details that I don't even think about when I look at a home. It was really well done, and it really made me understand what you do and how hard you work on that. And I want to commend you for that.
Thank you.
I honestly want to say that.
Thank you. Yeah, Rachel did come to my broker's open. And, you know, it's I'm really proud. So I'd love to show the four of you the house. We can make a time. We can have our own little private
event. Dance party.
Dance party.
TikToks.
In the house. And you know, I'd just like to say, it's not that I don't want to film. It's that my pages are really business-oriented right now. And I'm trying to keep it that way because I'm really focused. You'll see a lot of videos on the house. The cool thing about being on the show for me, in addition, obviously the fan base is fun and the pictures that people are asking us all to take is really flattering, right? You know, you're sitting at a restaurant. I was in the Bahamas in a casino and, you know, the people come over and they're like, would you mind? And it's so flattering. And of course, you know, at some point, I'm sure maybe a few years down the road, it becomes, you know, something different. But right now it's kind of exciting. And I had my first fan photo the first night after the premiere and my son was with me. So he was like, Mom, it's your first fan photo. So it's been fun. And I've had a lot of collaborations, which has been great. You know, I'm collabing with this 211-nil, like, tennis dress. You know, I'm so into tennis and their corset. Like, it's so exciting. But I'm really focused on the house, and that's my story. So it's where I don't know where I'm going to be at with the house when we start filming, but certainly they want to make sure they get that, you know, in before it sells. So I'm, like, praying to sell it and praying not to sell it because I really, you know, I really want the cameras there. And, you know, I know that our EP does too. So that's my main focus. And then, interestingly enough, and something I never talk about, is my brokerage business, which I have had a banner year of 4 to 5 times my gross sales of any year I've ever had. And now I have 4 to 5 more employees, all women, people that have come to me that have wanted to work for the firm since the show, been inspired by what I'm doing. And I never really wanted that many people working for me, but now I'm really enjoying the mentoring. I've done some speaking at universities and I have had a lot of offers for interns. So I've taken on one. So those are all super positive things that, you know, so when people say, wow, you really put yourself out there for the show and was that really good for you? I want to spill all that out. I want to say to that group of people, yes, you have no idea what a positive thing this has been for my business, for my self-esteem, for all of it. And I'm really excited about that. So it's really working, you know. And I think that the story will be the growth of the brokerage business, will be the sale of the house and what comes after. I'm sure there'll be a lot of phone calls and a lot of work that comes from whoever buys the house. You know, I'll still be down there a lot. That is always interesting, and on and on. So I'm excited about that. And then there'll be the questions. Do you want to search for another property? So maybe we'll go looking. I'm not really sure.
Great.
I think TBD, I'll stop talking. I heard the great. I heard the material.
I'm going to cut off of this.
And I got it.
Would you like to give a message?
You haven't said that much today.
So I know you had it all back.
I've been pretty quiet. Taja's been exceptionally quiet, I would just like to say. But to Taja, the woman who really had my back for the whole show. And I know that most of you basically hated me throughout the show, and I appreciate that you've
not. I never hated you.
Not.
Well, you may have called me a
wrong
bitch,
word,
but you know it's okay. And maybe I came off that way, and maybe I sometimes actually was, and maybe I sometimes actually wasn't, and I was misunderstood. But to Taja for really having my back, and I know there's been a lot of tension with the group, and I've really tried to have Taja's back, because for me, I'm a very loyal person and I'm standing behind Taja in the sense that I don't really think that I think she's being misunderstood
in all this, and I'd like you all to give her a chance.
We'd like that too.
So that's my
thank you, Hillary.
You're welcome.
Romina,
are we using this as like a marker?
Yes, you are.
I think just when we turned to the person.
Yeah, just when you turned to the person.
She was holding
the whole time.
The whole time. I'll make it short. I think in my, you know, storyline for season two, I will always, music and fashion will always be a part of what I'm doing. But I think, you know, navigating the friendships that we've created here is obviously going to be a big part of it. And we still have a lot of work to do. And there's, you know, a lot of love that I have for all of you. And I'm really happy to be here, even if it's hard. Any job someone takes on is hard. Reality TV is as much of a job as any other job. It's just we get to be super vulnerable and showing our personal lives. So it's a little bit different. And that's why you get to see us in, you know, sometimes the saddest or most difficult times in our life.
Sure.
So I've always been an open book, so for me it's not that hard, and I enjoy what I do, and I honestly have love and appreciation for every single one of you ladies, but I want to thank Rosalyn because she's the reason that I'm on the show. She's the one that referred me. I'll always be super grateful to her because even though this group has not always been an easy group to be a part of, it's still being a part of a group, and I love that. And I feel like not every woman out there can say that she has like a strong girl group bond, you know, that we can have these serious conflicts and still find the resolution after. So I'm very grateful
so much.
I'm sorry for that.
Oh my God, I was holding that like it was a mic.
I know.
Not for nothing.
So I want to say that I'm happy to see you guys in like you know, love energy instead of like, you know, I hate her, I hate her, you know, bad energy, okay? So I'm glad that whatever you guys had got resolved and that you facilitated that. I think that that's great. And even that, you know, the four of you right now have no animosity because that's not how we started and that's not how that's not how we ended, you know? So I'd much rather see this than, you know, have to have phone calls with everybody. I hate her, I can't, whatever. That is not what I want, okay? I want us all to empower each other. I'm more about collaborating than competing. I would like to see more of that on season two. And I love it that we all have a lot of things that, you know, not just in common, but passions that we're pursuing. You know, like, we can all do more than one thing. It doesn't mean that if you just do real estate, you have to stick to that. You do. Yeah, we can all do multiple things because I always have done multiple things. I've had whatever, restaurants, nightclubs, real estate, like, you know. And I want to also say that if sometimes I seem like I'm a lone wolf, I grew up an only child, and maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. So maybe that's why I, like, get into my own lane when I you know, feel I don't know, like I'm not understood, misunderstood again. So
that's your way of protecting yourself.
I guess so, because, you know, I really grew up, like, I spent a lot of time alone, you know, in my whole life. I still do, you know? So I am an only child. I was an only child. I do have a brother, but he was born when I was, you know, 18, 17.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, from my mother's second marriage, you know, so, but my whole childhood, I grew up alone. So that probably has something to do with why I maybe go off into my own lane.
Right.
And I would like to be more connected. That's something that I probably need to work on. So you're right about that. So here, I want to pass the baton.
Oh, no. It's heavy. Hold on.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong.
Sorry. Oh, no. I broke it. I broke the baton.
And now it's your dress.
So was that your comment to her?
Was that your...
That what? I broke the baton.
No.
Like, no, I want to pass the baton. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
She might not be wrong that I can was possibly
that
go.
That was kind of funny that it invalid a vote. That's kind of funny. It's like, it's ominous. It's kind of like we're back to like, we're going to sweep the wall out.
Tasha, I love that you said that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was the most vulnerable that a lot of people have seen you in a while. I understand exactly what you're talking about, too, and I think it's very valid. And I'm hoping that after this sit down, you guys now have had the opportunity to share a little bit about yourselves. You understand a little bit more about the other people, and hopefully you can start on a new foot forward. And hopefully you guys will all get a season two. And if you don't, at least hopefully you will be able to salvage some of these friendships moving forward. Because at our age, at any age over 18, it is very hard to find new women friends and to find people you can trust. So I think you guys are very lucky that you have each other. And I wish for you that you continue those friendships, regardless of what happens going forward.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on Misunderstood.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for trusting me with your stories.
You were great.
You were great.
You were great.
We're done.
You were great. Look at that. Was so fun.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.